In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 through 5 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. As you're finding your place, would you stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. And Lord, help us now to hear as our preacher comes and teaches and preaches to us this morning what you have for us. God, help us to be ready hearers and ready doers of what's preached this morning. Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior in heaven, God, I pray they'd settle it before they leave this room today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I'll ask that you make sure your cell phones, electronic devices, etc. that have nothing to do with the Bible to be turned off now for these next few moments. I'm going to ask you to listen very carefully. I want to apologize right away for the sermon. It's going to be very boring, and it's my fault because I'm going to preach on the doctrine of eternal security of the believer. You know, it's funny. You talk about heaven, people get happy. Talk about all kinds of things, people get happy. You talk about biblical doctrine, and people go, oh, yeah, well, whatever. But I want to talk to you about something this morning. I want to talk to you about the eternal security of the believer. Let me explain to you what that means. It means once you are saved, once you come to God by trusting Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross, and you put your simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone, that His death on the cross is your salvation, His resurrection is your eternal life. And the moment you place your faith and trust in Christ and you ask Him to save you, at that very moment, you are a saved person. There should be a bunch more amens than that, because that's amazing when you think about that. Boy, if you ever get past the place where grace is no longer amazing, we're in trouble. Not only that, but if we neglect so great salvation, it's us that does that, not the lost people. If we neglect so great salvation, we're missing something. But here's the point this morning of the message. Once you put your faith and trust in Christ for your salvation, at that very moment, not only are you a saved person, you are a secure person in that salvation. Oh, you're talking about once saved, always saved, Pastor Johnson. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because we must understand this. Now listen, the security of your salvation is a part of your salvation. It's not a separate doctrine. There are people who believe, well, you get saved by trusting Christ, and then some people believe that you're always in that grace, but some people believe you can lose the grace of God and walk away from it and da-da-da-da-da-da. No, look at me, look at me. Salvation by grace through faith has security in it. It is a part of that. Once you are saved, you are secure in that salvation. Now I want you to listen very carefully this morning. Say, well, I think I believe that. No, you better believe it this morning. And it's very important to your Christian life to know that you have this security, that once you are saved, you are always saved. That'll never be undone. There is nothing you can do. The idea of falling from grace doesn't happen to a person who is saved. You fall from grace because you didn't get saved. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, the Bible says. You come up to the grace of God. God's grace gives you the opportunity of salvation. You refuse to trust Christ and you fall from that grace. That's what falling from grace is. Look in your Bibles this morning. It's very important you keep your Bible open to 1 Peter today. And verse number 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready until they mess up, say something they shouldn't, get stuck at a red light, stand in line at Walmart and can't get out of the store before it's too late. It says, the Bible says, ready to be revealed in the last time. The security of the believer is so guaranteed in the Bible that God goes as far as to say this, and I want to have you turn to him. Ephesians, there's a little track out here in this rack out here, this wooden rack on by the information station, a little track about this eternal security of the believer. It has about 15 verses in there that prove the doctrine because it's all over the Bible. But Ephesians 1:13 says, please listen. It says, in whom you have all, it says this actually, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. The moment you trust Christ, the Spirit of God lives inside of you, and his presence is the seal, the guarantee that when the purchase of the redemption of the purchased possession comes, you will go to be with God. That's the resurrection when Christ comes back and we are caught up together to meet him. You're guaranteed once saved, you will be called up because God's Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You can grieve him, you can quench his working, but you cannot make him leave you. He will be there as a permanent presence of the guarantee of your salvation. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, in Romans chapter 8, the Bible also says this. Listen, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. The Bible says, according to the predestination and the work of Almighty God, is this guarantee. Any person who is called of God, and anyone is called who hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, if they come to the calling of God and they are saved, that's justified. The Bible guarantees those who are justified will be glorified. Justification takes place the moment of salvation. Glorification takes place the moment of resurrection. At the end of everything, when it's all said and done and you receive your glorified body. So the Bible guarantees that if you are justified, you will be glorified. God will make sure that is guaranteed because God predestined that according to his sovereign grace and working that if you come to Christ, you will be justified. And because you are justified, you will be glorified by the mighty working of God. Woo! Now that's big stuff, ladies and gentlemen. That means your salvation is secure as the God of heaven, his promises, and his guarantees. Yeah, but what happens if there comes a time in my life, Pastor Johnson, where I lose my faith? Well, here's another one for you. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. That's why when the Bible says that therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you accept Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God by the miraculous work of regeneration places you in the person of Christ and he could no more deny you than he could deny himself. That's what that means. Yeah, we deny him, of course he would deny who we are, deny how we live our lives and what we do. But if we ever stop and lose our faith, the Bible says he will still be faithful. God, that doesn't mean I've changed my condition. It means God hasn't changed his promises. Now let me say this, let me say it very carefully. Then, Pastor, do you believe you can lose your salvation? Yes. Definitely. You just can't lose the one God gives you. You hear me? That salvation you worked up, that you tried to earn, that you got baptized for, that you joined a church for, that you did good for, that you thought you earned because of who you were and who you are and what you were and what you are, what you weren't, you can lose that salvation. But blessed be God, you can't lose the one God gives you. You can't lose the gift of God that brings salvation unto. You can't lose the gift of God that comes by grace through faith. You can't lose that one because you didn't earn it to begin with. It's all of grace. It's all of God. It's all of his gift. And when God gives you that amazing gift of grace and salvation, ladies and gentlemen, God never takes it back. But wait a minute, Pastor. If you believe you're that secure in your salvation, you could live any way you want. And did you know that's true? You know what they don't ask us is this. Then why do we go to church? I don't have to. People all over this city this morning, many different kinds of churches, most of them are going there to earn salvation. They're going to eat Jesus and drink His blood at the Lord's Supper table. They're going to get baptized in a tank of water thinking that that saves them. I can take you over here in the river and baptize you in a fish by His first name and you're not going to heaven. There's so many people today, they're trying to earn the grace of God and earn the gift of God and earn eternal life by the works that they do. That salvation, my friend, that's a mess. The truth of the matter is, what's incredible is God gives us salvation, all of grace and all of God. And my life doesn't change the fact that I'm saved because my life didn't give it to me to begin with. It was a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It says in the Bible, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, we quote that John 3:16. We ought to break that down for a moment and make sure we get what it teaches. It does say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish until he cusses on the golf course. And I don't think it's cussing on the golf. No, just kidding. The truth of the matter is, many a time I've missed a birdie putt that far and thought, now come on, Lord, you know that would work right there. If that would, that word would fit perfectly. He says them all the time. The truth of the matter is, the truth of the matter is, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, if you receive Christ, for God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, that's salvation and security, you know. Right there together, huh? Just like that, that close, it's the same thing. You receive that gift, you have everlasting life. Not life that lasts as long as you want it, life that lasts forever because God said it is. And you can't perish. That means separated, cut off, can't be done. Your relationship with God is as permanent as the birth of any child in this room to their parents. There's a rite of birth and a rite of blood that makes you permanently attached to your loved ones, to your mother and to your father. And you may not be close to them because of how you live, but you can't separate the fact that you are their child. That's why Jesus said you had to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven, and He attached our physical birth to our spiritual birth. Are we clear this morning? The Bible teaches once saved, always saved. Are we clear now? Say, yeah, but see, I'm not sure. See, our doubts are in us, not in God, though. Yeah, I doubt Mike Johnson, but I don't doubt him. Now here's the sermon. So what does it mean to the believer to have eternal security? First of all, it means you're secure in what you are. Verse number 3. Look at that verse. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you know what it means to you, my believer friend, you saved dear soul this morning? Do you know what it means to you this morning that you have eternal security? It means you know today who you are and what you are in God. See, they can't know that when they're trying to earn salvation. They don't have a lively hope. Lively just simply means living. Because you know it's true. Don't look at me like that when I make this statement, but you know it's true. You tested your salvation this week, didn't you? You tested the grace of God, didn't you? Didn't you? Okay, is this working? I said you tested the grace of God, didn't you? Okay, there's three honest people and the rest of you a bunch of hypocrites. I said you tested the grace of God this week, didn't you? That's right, you did too. You thought something, you said something. There are people in this room, I guarantee you better thank God they don't have weapons on them. I'm not going to get off on one of my tirades because I get on a tirade and I get myself all worked up. But I'm pausing for the Holy Spirit's control. But saw a guy's t-shirt the other day. He said, my sarcasm is due to having talked to stupid people. I got to get that t-shirt. You know, it's amazing to me that I have a salvation that Mike Johnson, who he tries to sometimes, can't get out of. And after we get off the sorry excuse of, well, you could go out and kill somebody. But I didn't. I wanted to. But I didn't. Why, you could just, you could walk up and punch somebody in the nose. I wanted to. Sure. I think people who drive too slow should be executed on the spot. Just pull them out of the car and shoot them right there. Why do they have a car when they drive so slow? Why don't you just walk? There's not a whole lot of time difference between how slow they drive and how fast they could walk. It's almost the same thing. You almost want to drive by, roll the window down, and go, pull over and milk it, man! I tried not to get on a tirade this morning. I'll have to just say the word dogs in public places, and then I'm off and running again today. But the truth of the matter is, dear people, you tested your salvation this week. Now, the point is this. What you did find, if you found and understood that you are secure in that salvation, is this. You have a salvation so secure that God will not allow anything to take that from you, which means thereby I have a lively hope. It's a living thing. I don't have to get born again and 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 again. I don't have to keep asking him to save me because he already did that. It's like going to your parents and saying, can I be your son? Well, of course you're our son. You were born to us. I just wanted to ask again. Well, there's nothing to change that. Don't you understand? They're born to you. They're yours. You're stuck with them. The truth of the matter is they're yours because of that birth. It's permanent. Nothing can change that. That gives me a lively hope. So when I get out of line and my thoughts are not right, my words are not right, my actions sometimes are not right, I know who I am and who I'm in. I know I'm in Christ. I'm in God. And God has kept me there. I have a lively hope. I have a no-so salvation. There is no lively living hope of salvation if salvation is dependent on you. Well, I probably did something I shouldn't have, and I just asked him to save me again. Don't do that. Look at me. It's just as wrong to keep asking Jesus to save you as it is to ask Jesus to save you, trust in works to save you. You don't keep asking him. You crucified afresh and anew the Son of God. You don't keep asking him to save you. Forgive you, yes. Save you, uh-uh. He already did that. Christ went to the cross one time for our salvation, gave us eternal life by his death on that cross and by his resurrection, 1 Peter 1:3. That's a lively hope. The hope of my salvation is in Jesus Christ, not Mike Johnson. And so consequently, my hopes, I know who I am. I know who I am today. I'm a secure child of God. May I also add this thought to you this morning? I don't know why I'm asking permission. I'm going to do it anyway. The truth of the matter is, that does mean I'm always a child of God. And no weekends off on Jesus. Well, after all, you know, no. Excuse me. I'm always a child of God. Wherever I go, wherever I do, wherever I am, I'm always his child. See, well, not where some of the places I go. Then don't go there. It should affect your living, you know, that you're always a child of God. One of our missionaries, Brother Fagali in the Middle East, wants us to help start more churches in Egypt and in those Muslim countries where they're over there cutting people's heads off. And then in his letter we read on Wednesday night, he said, now if they want to come over and see what it looks like, they're welcome to come and visit. Nobody came up to me after church and said, I'd like to go over there and see them cut people's heads off and join in on the crowd and get in there, give the gospel to folks. You know, he just had enough sense to say, you know, I'll send them the money and stay here and pray for them. You know, once you're secure, that tells you not that you can go do what you want. It reminds you, I don't need to go do what I want. I need to do what he wants. See, it's a living hope. It isn't like I'm secure. I can go live any way I want to. Yes, I'm secure. Now I can go live the way he wants me to. Security of the believer means this to us. It means I'm secure in what I have. Look at verse number 4. Now look at this verse. This is great. It says, after salvation of verse number 3, security, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that the government can't get their hands on, reserved in heaven for you. Because I am a secure child of God, I have something no one can ever touch. I have an inheritance that can't be messed with. You know the old joke about the man who had really bad hearing, and they went and got really good hearing aids. For the first time in years, he could actually hear. And he went back for a checkup on his hearing aids, and the doctor asked him, how are the new hearing aids? He said, I've changed my will twice. Now he could start hearing what people were telling about him, what they've been saying about him the whole time. You know, the truth of the matter is, this whole thing about your security means I have something nobody can mess with. I feel sorry for my children, because they're not going to get anything when I'm gone. Hopefully I won't leave them any bills, but I won't do that. But they're not going to get anything. You say, are you concerned that your kids will fight over the inheritance? There's nothing to fight over. It's really simple. There's nothing there, and so you all divide up nothing as best as you can. But you see, the inheritance that we have coming as a child of God doesn't change because of how I live. It changed because I'm his child. And I have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away. Well, I mean, Pastor, when you said about what you have, I thought you meant about what you have in this life. Oh, there's other things too, but I know this. There's something God has reserved for me as his child, and no one's going to ever be able to touch that. And because I'm always his child at any point, at any time, at any place in my life, if something happens, I've been in life and death situations before where I thought for sure, this is it. I mean, I made peace with God because I thought I'm going to die. Missions, trips, airplanes, stuff and things like that. I thought this is it. And I had some cases I had tremendous peace. Brother Ray and I from Napa, the Pastor Ray there, he and I were in India handing out tracts and on the street by ourselves there, and a Hindu mob came over in a place where the missionary told us they were beating people up and throwing them in the garbage and hacking arms off and things. Brother Ray went out, we're handing out tracts, and this Hindu man, great big guy, came over, and Brother Ray, you know, is a short little preacher, and he came over and started bearing down on him and saying, what are you doing here? Who told you could do this? We didn't know. We were just handing out tracts. It was in their language. We didn't know what it was. Standing by a building looked like a grain silo with the rough metal siding on it, handing out tracts. Then a crowd of symbols. I have to show you the video sometime, because I was videotaping it while he was talking to him. When it looked like they were going to get him, I put my tracks in my back pocket. I thought, I'll record the kill here. No, watch this. This is going to be good. And then here's Brother Ray looking up at this big Hindu guy, and he's growling at him. You know, what do you think you are? Who gave you permission to come here? And then we just said, well, you know, we just handed out tracks telling people about the Lord Jesus, and because we love you and care about you. And who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? Brother Ray looks at me and goes, what do you think you ought to do? I said, tell this guy you don't understand. Let's walk off. Come on. First thing I thought was, I just bought this camera. And I'm going to give like 20 Hindus jump on me and beat us up and tear up my camera. And I'm with Mighty Mouse. And then the peace of God came over me. Because then I realized all I got to do is outrun him. And he's got little short legs. I know I could outrun him. So we turned around and walked off. And, of course, obviously nothing happened to us. It was like I had the greatest peace. He was scared to death. I had the greatest peace. I just thought, you know, if I'm going to die, this is where you want to go. Handing out tracts. Turned out we were handing out tracts that said, death is coming. And that thing that looked like a grain silo was a Hindu temple. Not smart. But then on those times, but you understand, dear friend, when you are secure in God and the moment you get saved, you are. You have something, my friend, you have something that can't be touched. It's a permanent thing. I know people who change their will because they don't like the way the kids live and what they do. And I don't think you got to give a dime to a kid who's rotten. I don't care who they are, how old they are. They're not going to live right. Don't give them anything. There's no point in doing that. Why fund the wickedness of their life? There's no issue there. That doesn't even make, well, that's my child. Okay, you do what you want. It's your business. I'm not telling you what you can or can't do. I'm telling you what you ought not to do. But see, earthly inheritances can change, get messed up, get drugged through court, probate. You know what I'm talking about? All the mess that goes along with that. You know what? Because I'm a child of God, even if God takes me up in a moment when my attitude is not right, I still have an inheritance that can't be touched. And so do you. Security for the believer means you have, there's something that you have that cannot be touched. And also, you're secure because of who God is. Verse number 5. The verse is very important. Please look at it one more time. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's power is what keeps you. Yeah, but what about me? What if I do so-and-so? What if someone were to do? See, everybody's question that doubts security is always about mankind, not God. And your security is dependent upon Him, not you. That He is able to keep you. And He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12. In other words, my friend, your security is based on who God is, not who you are or who you are not. And the power of God keeps you. That power of God, that power that stepped out onto nothing and spoke the worlds into existence, that power keeps you. That power, ladies and gentlemen, that will bring all the worlds to a conclusion and God's kingdom to this earth, and God will turn everything out the way it's supposed to. That power that's been creating this wonderful place called heaven for 2,000 years, that power is what keeps you. There is no power greater than that. Kept by the power of God. And then it says in verse number 5, ready to be revealed. Now every man in this room knows what ready means. Yes? You walk in the house and you get one of those food urges. You want a hamburger. You're not going to McDonald's. They don't have hamburgers in McDonald's, people. You're not even going to waste your time in In-N-Out because there's not really a hamburger there either. You're thinking a good hamburger. So you walk in the house and you announce to the women of the household, that's one wife, by the way, the women of the household, let's go get a hamburger. Are you going anywhere? Look at me, gentlemen. Are you going anywhere? Unless she got all the way ready before you got home, you're not going anywhere. You might as well go sit down and break out War and Peace and start reading it, because you're not going anywhere. Because she's not what? She's not ready, because she can't go out in public because she's not ready. She's got to get herself together to go out in public. Now, you could do a drive-through where you never even get out of the car. You could be really stupid and hand her a paper bag and have her put it over her head and drive to the car. You could be really dumb and do it in the middle of the night when there's nobody there and unplug all the lights. And you're not going anywhere because she's not ready. Can I get an amen on that one? Oh, pfft. She's not ready. And it doesn't make a difference how much you say, oh, come on. What difference does it make? Or if you're really, really stupid, you leave her and go get the hamburger. Now, that's really bad. You might as well just live over where you got that hamburger, because you've done cooked your grits, pal. Because they're not ready. Look here. Because of who God is, the moment you trust Christ, at that moment you are ready for the last time. The last time in this life? Yes. The last time in the next, when the God, calendar of God changes? Yes. You're ready for it all. You're ready either for the uppertaker or the undertaker, one or the other one. Either Jesus comes back and gets you and you go up, you're as ready the moment you trust Christ as then. You're ready for that time. You're ready if death comes to take you. You're ready at that time. You're ready. Because God's power keeps you ready. He keeps you in that same saved condition by His amazing power. Well, I understand the logic of questioning eternal security. What I don't understand is the lack of faith in the God who saved you to keep you. You mean He's no bigger God than you and I and our puny little lives? He's no bigger than that. He's no better than that. He has no greater power than when I go into the line at the grocery store to push up my cart and I got two items in there and somebody in front of me has bought the store. Two baskets, 42 pounds of food stamps. And I'm standing there with a package of bologna and a can of Beanie Weenies. And I look up there and they won't even let me go past them. And I got to wait for them to unload everything. And it kind of aggravates me because I just wanted to get two items and get out of there. And then they can't find the price on one of those items. And they call back to a department that doesn't exist because no one works there to get a price to save a nickel on one of those 342 items they had in the shopping cart that they're paying with food stamps that I paid for. And now I got to wait with my bologna turning green and the beanie weenies going past expiration date while I'm standing there thinking, why don't they just let me go? Then you think, you know what? I'll give you $5 for that thing if you'll just let me go in front of you and get out of here before the store is over. And then you get aggravated and you think bad thoughts. You start to pray that the tires, the air in the tires is going out while you're standing there. You're like that man who was told about jumping out of the airplane. The guy showed him, he said, now look, when you jump out of the plane, you count to 10, you pull this handle, the chute opens, you land, red truck picks you up, takes you back to the barn. Now, if for some reason you count to 10, you pull the handle, and that chute doesn't open, you pull this handle, that's an emergency chute that will open, you will land, and then they'll get you in a red truck and take you back to the barn. He jumps out, he pulls the first handle, nothing happens. He pulls the second handle, nothing happens. They heard him saying as he's going down, yeah, and I bet there ain't no red truck down there either. Oh, yeah, you start thinking, hey, this is not right. The injustices of the world. If you watch 30 minutes of Fox News, you're already aggravated. The truth of the matter is, dear people, look at me. The truth is, I'm kept by the power of God. And the moment I trust Christ, that power keeps me ready for the last time. So see, I'm as secure as God's ability to keep me, not my ability to keep him, his ability to keep me. Not my ability to hold out faithful to the end, his ability to abide faithful on his promises. Not my ability to do right, but his ability to be honoring his word. That's the power that keeps us, my friend. And so, child of God, that does not give me license. It does not give me liberty. It gives me an understanding, my wonderful, amazing Heavenly Father, that gave me a salvation I did not deserve and then secured me in that same salvation. Now would just ask me to try to honor him by how I live my life. That's not a big deal at all. Now is it? Kept by the power of God. Ready. Ready to be revealed at the last time. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. May I ask you a question? I'm not going to ask you if you have the eternal security of the believer. I'm going to ask you this question. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Do you have salvation? Now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to let you listen very carefully now. I did not ask you if you agree on eternal security. I ask you this. Do you have salvation that is all of God and all of grace and all of a gift? Or do you have works in your salvation? Listen now, works to get it or works to keep it. Either one of them will send you to hell when you die. God did not send Jesus Christ to the crimson womb of Mary, of a virgin birth, a sinless life, to go to the horrible, bloody cross and pay for our sins so you and I could earn it. Jesus has already paid for it. I want you to consider your salvation right now this morning. Listen, heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you to consider your salvation this morning.